It is March 15th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The JLN video team and I shot 15 videos yesterday, starting with Larry Tabb of Bloomberg and ending with Terry Duffy of the CME Group. Duffy's interview followed the Exchange Leader Panel discussion moderated by CNBC's Bob Pisani and featuring nine global exchange leaders. Pisani did a good job of trying to engage the leaders, trying to rein in the talkative types and bring out the not as talkative ones. Some leaders don't do the CNBC TalkFest competition as well as others, no matter what. The exchange leaders spoke about the record volumes or near record volumes seen on several exchanges on Friday and Monday. Eurex's CEO Michael Peters said yesterday was Eurex's second highest volume on record for the exchange, not the highest as I had previously reported. Both the CME and Cboe said they had record volumes, with Ed Tilley saying the unknown unknowns were driving the volume numbers. Terry Duffy said the CME saw 66.2 million contracts traded at the CME on Monday. These volume numbers reflected the strength and resilience of the regulated futures markets. Adina Freeman said, "This is when we shine." David Schwimmer of LSEG created the first moment of controversy when he said the London Stock Exchange Group was the most global of all of the exchanges up there. Multiple other exchanges took umbrage with Schwimmer's statement. Cboe's Tilley was restrained in his comments after getting the first question from Pisani. He could have knocked Schwimmer's comment out of the park, and likewise a comment later that what we need is a single global regulator. Instead, NASDAQ's Adina Friedman parried that comment with a rational remark about countries being nationalistic about their stock exchanges, so a global regulator would not work. As for Mr. Duffy, JLN interviewed him directly after the leaders panel for our industry leaders series, and the first question we asked him was why he did the interview with Josh King and the Inside the Ice House. It turns out the interview was orchestrated by Chris Edmonds, and Duffy just said, yes, why not? He understood his role as a spokesman for the industry and saw this as a great opportunity to exercise that. Personally, I'm guessing that there may have been some more strategic motivation here on the part of ICE, as Duffy has emerged as a champion of the anti-FTX crowd. I am thinking that by giving Duffy a great platform like the Inside the Ice House podcast series and releasing it right before FIA Boca, ICE was making sure the FTX issue was not swept under the carpet during the conference. Duffy, for his part, delivered and more, and gave the best interview I've heard him give, as I have said before. Of course, you have not seen and heard the interview I shot yesterday in Boca. During the opening comments of the conference from Walt Lucan, titled Never Daunted, Lucan was trying to explain March Madness to Europeans compared to the World Cup. He was telling the story of four words from the Indiana University fight song, Never Daunted, We Cannot Falter, and how the Indiana University Hoosiers basketball team is not as highly ranked in the upcoming NCAA's men's basketball tournament as John Lothian's Purdue. Well, with that, I let out a holler from the back row of the room where the press is strategically located. Speaking of Mr. Lucan, the FIA continues to thrive under his leadership and the team he has assembled, including such key players as Chief Commercial Officer Emma Davey and Chief Operating Officer and Senior Vice President of Global Policy Jacqueline Mesa, among others. And yes, you too, Will Ackworth. Specifically, Mr. Lucan had the wisdom to hear the calls to open the Hall of Fame process for nominations and broaden the committee that decides who gets in. That has opened the door for more deserving people to get into the Futures Hall of Fame, and it was my honor to serve on this year's committee and offer personal testimony to such industry stalwarts as Thomas J. Cashman, James Olive, John Davidson, and John O'Brien Sr. I also applaud Mr. Lucan for the creation of the President's Award, honoring individuals who contributed to the global clear derivatives industry during the past year. This is a great way to recognize people in mid-career who are making Hall of Fame-like contributions today. As you might imagine, the American Financial Exchange, whose Ameribor Index is made up of deals between mid-sized banks, has been plenty busy during the SVB turmoil. AFX yesterday issued a statement about two of its members, saying AFX extends its sympathy to the employees, customers, and stockholders of Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, and Signature Bank in this time of market distress. They were valued members of AFX. AFX also said, quote, "Despite last week's market turbulence, the exchange performed flawlessly, and through a combination of the platform's technology and the work and vigilance of the AFX staff, no other banks had exposure or defaults from those closed banks. Systemic risk was minimized or virtually eliminated." Equally important, the exchange's volume for Friday, March 10th, $1.09 billion, was higher than average with no increase in volatility. The warm embrace of the former CFTC. I received a very warm hug from a female former CFTC commissioner in attendance at the FIA Boca conference yesterday who loves my daily podcast. At least I have that going for me. Hester Pierce, the current commissioner of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, will be the featured speaker at the Financial Executives International 3rd Annual ESG Updates Conference on March 29th and March 30th. The virtual conference covers the latest updates on domestic and international ESG reporting requirements and highlights how leading financial reporting professionals are approaching readiness, including for the SEC's proposed climate reporting rules. Attendees at the FEI conference can earn up to 12.5 CPE credits. View the agenda and register with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, "Banks are designed to fail, and they do. This is a system that is essential to the functioning of the market economy, but doesn't operate by the rules." Banks fail. When they do, those who stand to lose scream for a state rescue. If the threatened costs are big enough, they will succeed. This is how, crisis by crisis, we have created a banking sector that is in theory private, but in practice a ward of the state. The latter, in turn, attempts to curb the desire of shareholders and management to exploit the safety nets they enjoy. The result is a system that is essential to the functioning of the market economy, but does not operate in accordance with its rules. This is a mess. My comment, I want a job where I get a big bonus even if I screw up really badly. That comment was from Jeff Bergstrom, and he would like a job like that. Here is another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, U.S. regulators are setting a dangerous precedent on Silicon Valley Bank. The FDIC seems to think the banking system is more fragile than it really is. This is by Sheila Bair. Preventing systemic risk was repeatedly used as a rationale for bailing out Wall Street during the 2008 financial crisis, the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act was supposed to have fixed all of that by strengthening regulation and banning government bailouts. Yet banking regulators have now decided that the failure of two mid-sized banks, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature, pose systemic risk, requiring the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation to pay their uninsured depositors. Here's another comment from Jeff Bergstrom. In 1980, the FDIC increased insurance to $100,000. In 2008, in response to the recession, they raised it to the current $250,000. Apparently, that is not enough. Here's another story from Financial Times and Robin Wigglesworth. The U.S. bank system is more fragile than you'd think. Academia isn't exactly famous for turning out timely papers of practical value, but occasionally a gem emerges from the scholastic grind at the perfect moment. One such effort has landed in FTAV's SVB bloated inbox. The abstract from five researchers at the University of Southern California, Northwestern University, Columbia University, Stanford University, and Edinburgh are emphasis below, Jeff Bergstrom says. And yet it seems I keep reading over and over that banks are passing their stress tests with flying colors. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. Why crummy bank IT is a looming regulatory risk. Lenders will not get a pass on the digital challenges around new consumer protection laws. I recently got a new phone. Much of the hassle of setting up the linchpin to your life has been removed. Simply stick it next to the old one, and the magic of Bluetoothy tech means app settings and information spontaneously appear on the new device. The biggest faff was, for obvious reasons, reactivating payment cards and banking apps that require various identification checks, face scans, and password hurdles. But in only one case did I have to do the unthinkable, use the technological appendage for its original purpose, and telephone the bank. It was, slightly predictably, the only Big Six high street bank in my wallet. Jeff Bergstrom says, in all my time in IT, every time we enforced new password rules and security, there would be no end to complaints from our users. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was the FIA establishes President's Award honoring six derivatives industry leaders. Second was Bloomberg's CME CEO says wife's carjacking highlights insane Chicago crime. Third was how Silicon Valley Bank skirted Washington's tough banking rules from Yahoo Finance. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, nickel alchemist Jing Guanda aims to work his magic on batteries. Founder of Xinjiang, world's largest producer of the metal, plans first IPO after 35 years. China's Xinjiang Holdings Group plans to list its battery unit in Hong Kong later this year in an initial public offering that would begin to lift the veil on the private business empire of Jing Guanda, the founder who a year ago brought the global nickel trading to its knees. Here's another story. The headline. Rishi Sunak is warned not to relax City of London rules. Collapse of Silicon Valley Bank sparks calls for rethink of regulatory overhaul. Rishi Sunak was on Tuesday warned not to weaken City of London regulation, including plans to relax rules for smaller banks following the collapse of the UK arm of Silicon Valley Bank. The Prime Minister and Chancellor Jeremy Hunt have pushed for looser post-Brexit regulation of the city under so-called Edinburgh reforms, but the SVB debacle has sparked calls for a rethink. And then here's one more story from the Financial Times. The headline, Charles Schwab feels heat after SVB collapse. Broker was already under pressure from customers reacting to higher interest rates. Charles Schwab is battling to allay fears about interest rates and unrealized losses after brokerage's shares fell 40% following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Shares in Schwab, which is the largest brokerage in the U.S. with $7.4 trillion in customer assets, have fallen further and faster than its rivals, such as Interactive Brokers, in wake of SVB's failure. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.